All right, I'm gonna kind of recap a little bit of what we talked about last week, learning to flow in the supernatural, the good, the bad, and the ugly concerning intercessors. Have you listened to your tape yet?
Not yet.
Okay. All right, Romans 8. What is the purpose of an intercessor? Here again, we find just what we have been talking about this morning on Jesus' team. It's the same with intercessors. Intercessors pray in God's will, not their will, God's will. All right, 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So the whole plan of intercessors is to pray in God's perfect will. It's not about a bunch of intercessors getting together and start finding fault with the minister or other people and tear up the church. Now, I didn't get to all, I tried to read, there was a bunch that I read last week, and I'm going to read some to you this week in this book, Prayer Shield. But he talks about this pastor, that this woman, she was over the intercession of the church. And as they got further and further into her intercession, she became critical of the leadership. Next thing he knows, there's two women come to see him that make themselves available to him anytime he was inclined. The man had to flee his church for a whole month, him and his wife, and get away from the situation and pray and ask, what is going on here? It was a rogue intercessor. See, she started coming against what he taught, what he believed, what their beliefs were, and all those kind of things. And she got on to that. She got off of praying God's will for this minister and the way they're supposed to go and the way the church needs to go or whatever. You know, Danny had that in that word about we need to pray that the intercessors will stay in their place and they will pray God's will. I said last week, I'm not about somebody coming in and telling me you're wrong and this and that. You can hit the door. That's the way I feel about it. You don't come in and start doing that to me. You're not going to do that to me. I've already had it done to me. That's what happened in our church. We had intercessors that knew better. And they tore the church up. They stood up and accused me. But they'd been doing this behind the scenes because I know. I was so devastated by it, I went to bed. But anyway, I had a dream, and in the dream, and I couldn't find the book, Brother Hagin talks about a pastor that his church split two or three ways because of a group of intercessors. And mainly, they're always usually women. And he told him, he said, you needed to be over that intercessory group and lead that group, because it's probably why I did that at the church I worked at. I should have taken heed to that, because they went rogue and they began to pray their opinions or what they thought, and they totally shipwrecked, caused the church to shipwreck, split everybody. The whole church left. And I can't tell you anything good about any who have left that. I mean, except one, she did come back and apologize a couple of years later because she said, the blessing left our home. So we apologized for what we did. So if anything good came, probably did through them. But that lady, She had a mother that had, I had asked her to speak, or she was in town, so I asked her to speak one Sunday and everything, and she was an older lady. She moved in the gifts of the Spirit and different things. And I don't know if she had anything to do with it or not. I don't know that. I won't accuse her because I don't know for sure. But I know they were having Bible study or something or prayer meeting outside of our church circle that we didn't know anything about. All right. We see here that the ultimate objective is for the intercessor to join with the Holy Spirit and pray God's perfect will concerning the situation. Yeah, Danny brought a good point a couple weeks ago when he said we need to speak that the intercessors would not get off track and get out of God's will. In other words, intercessors, it appears, seem to think that they know best at times and they get off track. And that's why we have to make sure that we are there to aid the minister, not to tell, well, God's done with you, get out. Because in the book, Brother Hagin wrote, these women said, well, God's told us you're done here. Thing was, God hadn't told him that. Intercessors are to aid the minister in God's commission, not to steer it off course. Okay. Intercessors, especially prophets, have a heavy responsibility on them to know what to tell and what to sit on. Peter tells of times when the prophet intercessors heard from God but said nothing to him, but waited for the Lord to speak to him, and then he would bring to them what he had and they would confirm it. This is a perfect example of working as a team. Here we are about a team again. When it comes to intercessors in general, they can cause more harm than good. Okay. Now, I'm not going to get back. I just told you a little bit of what I had. I had some scriptures on. But I'm going to read some things from this book called Prayer Shield. It's been very enlightening. He's talking here about different times. He's had a couple of near-death experiences that intercessors have stood in the gap and prayed for him, and he's miraculously recovered from it. One of them, he didn't even know anything happened. But the intercessor nearly took her out. All right, it says intercessors need help too. One of the things we learned about, he has three categories, I-1, I-2, and I-3 intercessors. I-1 are the ones that are, they know personally, are very close, so they usually don't have one of those. Then they'll have maybe two or three of the I-2. A little more intimate, not quite as much. And then they might have quite a few of the I-3 intercessors. In other words, these others, kind of like Jesus' inner circle, and then, you know, it got bigger on the way out kind of deal. All right. One of the things we learned about I-1 intercessors is that they, particularly during critical times, need intercessory help themselves. I think I read to you one morning about Cindy Jacobs helping that lady when that spirit came into the room and attacked her. And Cindy Jacobs was awake and she saw in the spirit what was going on, and she spoke to that demonic entity and it left, helped that lady. The spiritual warfare they find themselves engaged in on behalf of the pastor or leader can become overwhelming. Moses, you may recall, needed the help of Aaron and Hur in order to intercede effectively for Joshua during the Battle of Rephidim. Along these lines, I recall one time when Kathy, this is one of his intercessors, the I-1 intercessor. It's really been something how these intercessors, one of them, he met through a meeting at Young Hee Cho's church in Korea at a seminar. The Lord just put her together with their team as an intercessor. Yeah. Of course, he's dead, but it was his son that's the pastor now. All right. I recall one time when Kathy desperately needed some errands and hers. What happened? During the 1980s, I had joined John Wimber to help me teach a new course on signs, wonders, and church growth at Fuller Seminary. The course stirred up a very intense controversy, and I was at the center of unrest for years. This was by far the most painful trial I had personally endured since leaving the mission field in Bolivia, and it lasted for 3.5 years. Without going into details here, suffice it to say that after 3.5 years, I had come to the end of my patience. I had been on the defensive for all that time, and I was getting prepared to switch to offense. A crucial showdown meeting had been scheduled with the seminary faculty senate. My temper was on edge, and my guns, so to speak, were loaded for the shootout. I showed up at the meeting. A grim-faced theology dean entered and displayed a copy of my book, How to Have a Healing Ministry, on the table in front of him. A distinguished professor of theology brought another copy and put it on the table as well. I knew that both of them had IQs much higher than mine, and I became very apprehensive about the impending arguments. I thought I was in for it. But incredibly, the meeting was called to order and there was no showdown. The proposal I presented was somehow passed unanimously. No one was nasty. A couple of rather routine questions were addressed to me, but nothing else. I had my guns loaded, but I did not have to pull the trigger. Why? I have no doubt that the spiritual warfare behind this whole scenario had been completed before the meeting began, and I believe that Kathy, as my I-1 intercessor, was the principal agent for winning that spiritual battle. It was not easy for her by any means. Looking back, I am convinced that this faculty senate meeting was a significant milestone in my personal ministry career, if not, also for the Fuller Seminary community in general. Because of that, the warfare, not surprisingly, was far more intense than usual. What was going on behind the scenes? Now, he talks about after he does something is when he needs the most prayer, the week after. You know, a lot of people pray before, but praying after. And I've noticed that also. All right, this is what happened to her. Kathy's car was totaled and she received a serious whiplash. The other driver was clearly at fault but decided to sue her. The family of a student in the Christian junior high school where Kathy was then teaching had produced a written list of 30 trumped-up charges against both her competence and her character. She was emotionally devastated. The charges were being taken to her school board, which coincidentally was meeting to consider them on the very day of the faculty senate meeting. Kathy's kitchen caught fire, and the fire burned a hole through her kitchen floor. See, these incidences are happening, and she's praying for him and praying for this meeting. More than ever, Kathy needed her errands and hers. Whereas God only sent 2 of these supporters to Moses, he sent 9 to Kathy. The first one we found out about was Dave Rump, one of our I-2 intercessors. Dave did not have the gift of intercession, but he did have the gift of encouragement. God assigned Dave to pray for Kathy at the time and also to call on the telephone several times during the week. After the fact, he learned about 8 others who had been praying for Kathy. Christy Graham, whom I have previously mentioned as an example of a crisis intercessor, had been assigned by God to pray intensely for Kathy 6 weeks before the faculty senate meeting. She had been praying faithfully every day. So it goes on to tell about all the different people that stepped in, and it ended up, her floor got fixed. Actually, it got fixed better than it was before. I mean, everything worked out, everything. But it was a team. See the team? All right, quenching the fire darts. A very helpful analysis of the role of personal intercessor comes from Sylvia Evans of Elam Bible Fellowship in Lima, New York. She says that one of God's most wonderful blessings is his faithfulness to awaken intercessors for the night watch or an early morning watch and to place them on duty to head off the enemy. She sees intercessors as watchers constantly on the alert to be assigned their position in battle. Discussing the full armor of God as described in Ephesians 6, Evans interprets the passage as suggesting that the intercessor is to be able to aggressively withstand the enemy, taking the attack for others who may be in real danger or be the real target. The watchman must be able to quell all the fiery darts, not only against himself or herself, but against the ones for whom they are standing watch. Kind of makes sense. That's what it actually says. Doris and I are thankful to God for raising up intercessors who have been willing and able to take the fiery darts of the enemy for us. Other than our immediate family, they are the most precious group of people related to our lives and our ministry. We rejoice that we are now seeing God spreading this kind of spiritual power throughout the body of Christ. Now he talks about recruiting partners and kind of how they do it and everything. But this, I want you to know this. See, it's like God has us working as a team in intercession. He's going to show us exactly what he wants us to do, when he wants us to do it. He'll bring people along to pray. But I also believe he will bring people along to help us. We've been praying, you know. The Lord told us to make sure that we prayed for intercessors in the body of Christ so the foundation would be laid in the church. So, anyway, but it has to be God's team. It has to be we are in line with God's will. We are not here to tear up the character of the minister or anybody else. Well, I was in prayer and the Lord showed me this. And I'm sure a lot of that goes on. And it's very sad to me. But having been a part of it, I know exactly. And I'm thinking, you know, if I find out about that, they're out the door. That's the way I feel about it. Because they do nothing but cause destruction. That's Satan's work. That's what Satan does. So what God asks us to do is a very heavy responsibility. Like I told you before, a lot of things the Lord shows me, I don't even get to ever speak them to anybody. I just pray it. You know, I just pray for the person. Because, and I usually don't even get to speak it to the person. Sometimes I'll write it down and put it in my file. And if the occasion comes where I can share it with them, I will. So I won't forget it, you know. But I mean, this is a very, very vital part of the ministry. I mean, the warriors, the real warriors are the intercessors. In fact, I know Brother Hagin has said it. He said, I couldn't attribute what was happening in the services to what I did. He said, it was those intercessors behind the scenes praying for me. To cause the power to show up and the things to happen. People healed, miracles happening. So, but anyway, I encourage y'all. Very good book. And it helped me understand that a lot of these intercessors, the devil attacked them physically. It showed his physical things in their body. It made me identify with the things we've gone through, going, what is going on here? And it's just story after story of these kind of things in this. And this is one of his older books. In fact, I got the one that's more recent that it's about warfare, prayer, and pulling down strongholds and things like that. So he said, in this book, he said he talked about the pastors, but he said, I wasn't an apostle yet. God hadn't raised me to that place, so apostle wasn't on my radar. He said, if it had been, apostle would have been the one that I put in place of pastor. So, you know, but I'm thinking he had a lot of insight even in this time. This man had done everything, been a missionary in Bolivia, you know, taught at seminars, had at Bible schools and all kinds of things. So, yeah. But anyway, the crux of what the Lord is saying this morning is Team Jesus. If we're interceding, if we're teaching, whatever we're doing, everything is for the team. We are a team. Even though we don't, there's just what we have here this morning, there's others that later will join our team. The team will grow. We're part of the body of Christ, we're part of the team. And always remember that. And when you get yourself in a situation where it's going rogue, maybe you can say, listen, this is wrong. This is not going to be good. We need to stop this. We're not here to tear down leadership. It says to pray for leaders and all in authority. I think people forget that that means pastors, the fivefold ministry gift too. It doesn't just mean our president. All that are in authority. That we might lead quiet and peaceful lives in all godliness and honesty. So, okay.